Good evening and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. We have a great show lined up for you, an exciting hour of local high school wrestling coming your way. So let's quickly introduce our great panel here tonight with a lot of insights to share with us this evening. We have around the table from left to right, Tom Hausnick, senior sports writer from The Morning Call and wrestling guru for The Morning Call, Ryan Nunnemaker, first-year broadcaster with the RCN Sports Department. Glad to have you aboard. And Jamar Billman, second year at the helm of the Easton Wrestling Program. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in and talking some wrestling with us this evening.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Jamar, we'll start with you. We didn't have a chance to talk to you last year, but Tom wrote an interesting article on you a couple weeks ago about your second year and the adjustments you've made to the sport of wrestling and as a head coach after being a great wrestler yourself, but you made some adjustments from year one to year two. Can we start talking about some of those adjustments you've made this year?
Last year, I think the coaching staff tried to get into the room, and we were hands-on, and we tried to change our culture in the room that we wanted for the future of Eastern Wrestling. And I think beginning of the season, our workouts were really intense, very hard, and we wore guys out throughout the course of the season. Really didn't let off the pedal, and I think it showed during districts, regional states. So this year, we took a back seat. We slowed it down, focused on technique, slowed everything down in the wrestling room, and now we could begin to build up and pick up the momentum in the room where we can see our guys are starting to thrive off it. They're beginning to grow. They're not beat down in matches. They're not beat down in tournaments. And they're starting to be fresh when a lot of guys are becoming unhealthy during the season.
Yeah, and that's been working for you. You're having a great season so far.
Thank you.
Now, Ryan, you're making the tough adjustment going from a coach to a much, much more difficult job as a TV announcer. So I know it's very stressful for you. I'm just kidding here. But, I mean, you've done a great job, too. And not only do you know wrestling inside and out, but you've had great chemistry with Scott Barr, who's a great wrestling announcer in his own right, but you've kind of clicked, and it's been very enjoyable broadcast this winter. Talk about that transition for you.
Yeah, well, I was approached by Jim Best, who was here before, and we kind of, you know, switched roles here. He went back to coaching, and I went to the announcing, and it's been great. I've followed Scott since I was in high school. He was covering wrestling through RCN, and always enjoyed the commentary. And when the opportunity presented itself, I thought, you know, this is a neat thing to do. I'm familiar with all the coaches, most of the wrestlers. It's exciting to look at things from a different perspective, kind of step back and hopefully give a little insight to people about maybe why coaches do some of the things that they do. Because it's easy from the outside sometimes, like, why did they put that kid there? Why did they make that decision? And you kind of hopefully give a little insight of why they've made those decisions.
Yeah. And Tom, you're the wrestling guy for The Morning Call. You've been doing not only it's a hard job to put the rankings together, but I guess it's been a little bit tougher this year because it seems every week you have a whole new slate of top fives.
No question. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of depth. Yeah. There are some great senior wrestlers, but I think this is only going to get tougher the next couple of years. There's some great underclassmen, freshmen through sophomores through juniors, that they're really making it very difficult. They're going through the peaks and valleys like most underclassmen do, and it's been really fun to watch.
And you had a great article about the weather, and I want to get all three of your thoughts on this because you think, I'm not a wrestling guy, I'm an outsider, and you think, boy, the weather, you know, you're off for a day or two, you just go back to the match and you reschedule. But as Tom said in his article, which is available at themorningcall.com, too, to check it out for yourself, the weather can wreak a lot of havoc, especially for younger wrestlers, too. But could you all talk about how the weather has kind of altered the wrestling schedule, and especially for you, Jamar, as a head coach dealing with the youngsters?
I think when the weather outside, it was snowing and school's canceled, it's difficult for us to have practice because in Easton we're not allowed to have practice. And there a lot of schools are like that. But we have a set schedule in our minds and try to get our guys to peak or be prepared for certain matchups and certain matches. And when we get snow on the horizon, we really have to adjust our schedule and try to cram in technique or conditioning. And it does become a problem, but with anything in wrestling, you're going to have to learn how to adjust on the fly.
Yeah. Ryan, maybe you could talk about that both as a former coach and also your observations this year.
Yeah, I think, you know, for coaches like Jamar's saying, it's a struggle because you have young guys. You want to get them technique, but you also have to worry about guys making sure they're maintaining their weights. You want to make sure you're keeping them fresh. Sometimes you get in a week like this week where some teams might wrestle 3-4 dual meets. That's really hard. It's hard on the kids. It's hard on the coaches. And, you know, they have to always constantly be ready to adjust. They have to have kind of backup plans set. If you know a forecast is coming in, how are we going to change our training? And what are we really looking forward to training for? What's our end goal here? And sometimes you have to sacrifice a little bit during the season to be where you want to be at the end of the season. And I think that's important. You always have to kind of keep that in perspective as you plan your training for your team.
Have you seen many teams affected by the weather in terms of the rankings, Tom? And what are some of the other comments you've been hearing from local coaches?
Well, it's just for the wrestlers, it's difficult. What are you going to do when you don't have your workouts? Mm-hmm. There's temptation. You hear the stories of these guys, what they have to do over Thanksgiving and Christmas just to stay on the plan. Well, here, now you're taking away a practice or two a week for 2 or 3 weeks in a row, and to be that disciplined, to stay on your plan and not, give in to a pound or two and you think, oh, I'll just work this off, and that doesn't work. It's not that easy. I can't imagine how they have to do it for an entire season, but then when you have a rhythm that's disrupted seemingly every week by the weather, then it just becomes increasingly difficult. It's really hard. I see it more with individual kids than entire teams being hit.
All right, we're going to talk a lot more high school wrestling. We're going to look at Tom's rankings as they were in the morning call just a couple days ago, and all three of our panelists are going to weigh in with their thoughts on some of the top wrestlers that they have seen this year. Right now, it's time to roll out the trivia question, give you a chance to win tonight's special prize. It is wrestling-related for all the Lehigh Valley wrestling fans out there. Since 2009, there have been six different schools that have won a District 11 wrestling team titles. We want you to name all six of them. We have a lot of smart wrestling fans in the Lehigh Valley and beyond, so we don't think this one's too difficult. We want you to name the six different schools that have won in a District 11 team title in wrestling, either 2A or 3A, since 2009. And here's more information on how and what you can win.
$10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months. But if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
Time for our first timeout feature of the evening, and former Bethlehem baseball standout Matt McBride was signed by the Phillies as a free agent a couple weeks ago and will be heading down to Clearwater, Florida in a short amount of time to try to make the Phillies big league roster. We caught up with Matt to talk with him about his new club, the pitching staff of the Phillies overall, and about the evolution of pitching at the major league level.
When I became a free agent, I talked to my agent, and I was, hopeful. Let's see what the Phillies, if the Phillies were interested, and baseball, you never know. They have to be interested in you, and knock on wood, things sort of aligned, and got the opportunity to sign, and looking forward to it. Really excited. Yeah, no, Phillies fan growing up. Went to a bunch of Reading Phillies games when I was younger with my dad and my family, and it was always a fun experience. So when I was with the Indians, got a chance to play there in Double A, and it was fun. But now to be a part of the organization, it's just exciting. A lot of times at baseball, it was like a learning experience. So, guys to get the opportunity, get that experience under their belt, learn from, the people around them. And, just at the same time, just try and go out there, compete, and have a lot of fun with it. And, when you're out on the field, just try not to look back. Just go for it. Things are changing, and a lot of the saber metrics too. I mean, it's proven that it can be effective. So, I think it'll be fun to watch and be a part of.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, talking high school wrestling on the program. Our special guest, Jabbar Billman from Easton. Ray Nunnemaker. Raymond, I knew I was going to do that at some point. Ryan Nunnemaker from the RCN Sports Department. Tom Haustick from The Morning Call. And just joining us, co-host of the program, senior sports writer of The Morning Call, and the most recent participant on the Eagles bandwagon, Mr. Keith Edward.
I'm not on anybody's bandwagon.
No, you know what? For the last year and a half,
I'm
you've
on a
been
flight to
me.
Minnesota, but I'm not on the bandwagon.
Yeah, you set me up. That's another, we'll talk about that next week.
I can't wait.
But the last year and a half, you've been promoting me. Oh, this big Eagles fan. I'm a pro NFL, national, blah, blah, blah.
You,
and there
promoting you.
You are out there tweeting Jeffrey Lurie dancing and Nick Foles here and the fans. And you're all doing this Eagles stuff all of a sudden. What happened?
Anything
what
to
happened?
Get,
you turned any, in your Rams Rams for Eagles wings.
Anything to get me out of the Lehigh Valley for a week. Anything.
Oh, that's good. It'll do great for our public awareness.
No, I love the Lehigh Valley.
Quick, say something.
I think we all could use a break. You know, for me, vice versa.
All right, so let's get back to the wrestling conversation here. And Tom, we'll start with you too, because I know this is not easy putting the rankings together. We'll post what the rankings were a couple days ago. There might have been some changes the way this season has unfolded too. But Tom, you can talk about some of the area's top rankings. Ray, you can give your thoughts. And Coach Billman, I know you have a few of the wrestlers that are number one right now that you want to chime in. So Tom, we'll start with you, starting with the lower weight classes.
Okay, well, 152 has been easy all year. Wherever he wrestles, he's
number
one.
Even I could get Sammy.
Yes. Yes, I think my 3-year-old knows that. 106 is a shocker. This, you know, if you talked coming into the season that Nate Lackman from Bethlehem Catholic was going to be not only in the starting lineup, but the fact that he was going to be number one in the area at the moment, I don't think many would have taken that bet. Again, Tal Reese Fleming from Liberty is a real close number two. They had a real good bout in their head-to-head duel, and I'm sure they'll meet again somewhere down the road. Matt Maloney at Liberty at 113, again, a real solid kid. I think he's probably eager to get back to the postseason after the way things ended for him last year. Brandon Casas, again, tremendous wrestler 2 years ago, and he's, again, he's fun to watch because you never know what you're going to see. He's wrestled a lot up at 126 the last week or so, but again, he's going to be a kid that we're going to watch at Hershey for sure. Mm-hmm. Josh Jones, to me, is the most complete wrestler that Saucon has. He's got the great combination. He's strong. He's a smart wrestler, and he's got a lot of experience. He's done well, Beast of the East, the last couple of years when Saucon's gone down there. So and that's a weight class that's been a lot of fun to watch. That's been change every day at that weight class. Again, there's anything from a freshman to a senior in that weight class could be number one. Jonathan Myers, again, is a fun kid to watch wrestle. You can smack him in the head, he's not moving an inch. Mm-hmm. He's just a tough-nosed kid who's getting smarter by the day. His performance at Escape the Rock was evidence of that. Great match against Jared Papsy in the semifinals with Becca, and then his final against the kid from New Jersey who is among the nation's best. Again, will go a long way in helping him this year at States. Ryan Anderson, now that he's healthy, is a clear number one wherever he wrestles. Jason Jones of Saucon Valley, again, a lot of experience there. Again, he's probably got some obstacles he wants to clear come this the individual postseason as well. Again, we talked about Sasso. Chase Anklam is probably not happy that Caleb Clymer wrestled this week at 160. That's been a kid he has not been able to beat the last couple of years. Clymer is a tremendous kid, tremendous individual. I believe he's headed to Drexel. Again, that's a family that's gone back generations and will continue. I believe it's the next one's in sixth grade, somewhere around there. Josh Stillings of Penridge, again, he's a two-time state medalist. He's now back healthy. He missed a couple of weeks. Robert Spezza, again, is another kid who was barely in their lineup, if at all, last year. He was not healthy. He was, as he would admit, terribly out of shape. And this is a kid, 3 years ago, was wrestling in the way down in the lightweights. He's just kind of exploded, but he still has maintained some of that quickness that you see a lot at the lower weights. And he's been tough at 95. Bronson Strauss, Tamaqua kid, has really come out of nowhere last year as a freshman to be a pretty good wrestler. And Jonathan Pineda at Easton is the clear-cut favorite, 285. Although he weighs about 245, I think most times. But again, his attitude this year has been evident from the moment he stepped on the mat the first time this year that he learned from his mistakes last year. He's a very aggressive wrestler. He's very active, and his takedown fest against Pieberg last Saturday was fun to watch. He's going to be very tough again. You're going up against 285 pounders. It's tough, but he's got the skill, and I think he's got a good chance.
Coach, I was going to ask you, does Myers have his own PR department? Because he's getting a lot of publicity and a lot of people saying he should be ranked higher or getting even more honors than he's getting right now. And I've heard a lot of good things about him as a wrestler, too.
He's a great teammate, great wrestler, and he's only getting better. I think Mr. Housenick said it best. His growth from last year to this year is evident on the mat. Situations where he would get frustrated last year, you can see his patience, sticking to a game plan, and really going after kids on the mat. His hand fighting is strong, and he's really good in all positions, which is the X factor. We told our kids in the beginning of the year, if you could take a kid down and get out from bottom, you had the match won, and he could do that.
Yeah. Ryan, your thoughts on the top wrestlers that you've seen so far this year?
Yeah, well, I've had an opportunity to see pretty much all these guys throughout the year. As we said, Sammy Sasso's an easy one. He's incredibly talented. I've been impressed with a lot of these guys. Matt Maloney, as you said, is going to, I think, have a really breakout year. He is having a breakout year. I think he has some things he wants to prove. Josh Jones, I saw him wrestle earlier this year. They said solid in all positions. You see that Saucon Valley team, they all kind of look kind of the same. They're all built. They're all strong. They keep good position. Myers I've been highly impressed with. As Coach Billman said, he gets better every day. He is tough. He is hard-nosed. Last year I looked at him and said he's really tough to score on as a freshman. And this year he's opened up a little bit more. I think he's going to be fun to watch. And Ryan Anderson's a top national caliber kid. Anklam Clymer battling back in that double A will be exciting to watch. Spez is one of those guys, I think, also along with Lackman, that at the end of last year, kind of like I wouldn't have even thought of these guys being in the top five in their weight class. And now here they are, number one in their weight class, I think is really impressive. And Pineda continues to progress at heavyweight, where now he's in that top position. So I think, as we talked about earlier, a lot of these weight classes could change. There's a lot of competition. There's a lot of young guys. When there's a lot of young guys, two things happen. One, they improve a lot, but they still make some mental errors in key situations. So it's going to be, you know, at the end of the year, who's the most mentally prepared and physically prepared that's going to be successful.
I'd just like to ask you guys, and I asked Tom a couple weeks ago on my radio show, and I know it's a tough answer, and it's probably an answer that could go off in a variety of tangents. I cover basketball. I've covered basketball at the paper for 35 years. It's been 1986, the last time I covered a boys state champion in boys in area boys basketball. We've had a couple teams make it to the finals. My question to both Ryan and you, Jamar, is why are we so darn good in this particular sport?
I think one of the biggest reasons is because this area puts itself out to national competition on a daily basis. We're wrestling ranked teams. Easton, we're going up to wrestle Blair and Wyoming Seminary this week. Actually, tomorrow, Nazareth's going to the Ironman, Beast of the East. Becca goes to national caliber competition. So we're wrestling the best in the country. And once we realized early 90s that we could beat the top guys, it just took off from there. Our confidence grew, and the district now is able to poke its chest out and show the nation that we are the top in the area, the best wrestling in the state, and let alone the nation.
But Ryan, it's embedded in our culture here. It seems
it
like it's a blue collar area.
It
Bethlehem
is.
Steel, Mack Trucks, and
100%.
These families. It kind of lends itself into wrestling.
It absolutely does, and you hit the nail on the head. When you look back at the old teams, when Lehigh Valley started to take off, the cement towns, the steel towns, wrestling's a unique sport. It's a blue collar, it's hard-nosed, it's tough, and you know, I think that culture is embedded in the kids in this area for a long time, and we were able to have success early. And as Jamar said, we were able to also go out and always test against the top teams in the country. There was a time where you didn't always know who the best were because it was just like, we were 10-time state champs. And then you find out, well, you know, they didn't really wrestle anyone. But in wrestling, we found out pretty early who the actual best teams were in the country. And they started these national events where all the top teams were going to. So you knew right away who the best teams were and who the best individuals were. And then what's helped perpetuate that cycle is the kids from the area went to college, a lot of them went to Division I, and they've come back, and they continue to coach. I mean, the resumes of the high school coaches in this area is unbelievable with what they've experienced and what they can bring to their programs, and that tradition just keeps, you know, creating every year, starting over and building and building. So wrestling's been very fortunate from that standpoint, and hopefully we'll continue to have that success.
I don't think, if you look at some of the new coaches this year, I think Emmaus and Pocono Mountain East are going to be much better 5 years from now than they are right now. Mm-hmm. And that's just the only good news for the area because, again, that's two programs that have not been typically in the conversation among the area's best. And they've got two great young coaches, guys who have tremendous resumes as wrestlers and as teachers. And I think that's really going to pay off for those two programs in particular.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. We have Brian who wants to take a shot at our trivia question tonight. Again, tonight's trivia question. Since 2009, six different schools have won a District 11 wrestling team title. Name all six. Brian, you'd like to take a shot at it?
Yeah, I'd like to start with Nazareth and Northampton, Bethlehem Catholic, Easton, Wilson, and Northern Lehigh.
Incorrect. You didn't get all six correct. Good guess, though.
Oh.
Some quality programs there. All right. Sorry, Brian.
He's speechless.
So we still have that out there since 2009. Six different schools. You got to name all six correct that have won District 11 team wrestling titles. You guys all mentioned the word tradition, too, and I just want to kind of follow up on that, especially at Easton. It's like you lock the kids in the room and you teach them about tradition at Easton and the people that have gone before. And I know a lot of other sports and a lot of other coaches. I mean, there's some kids at Allen who didn't know that Doug Snyder is up the same Doug Snyder as the head coach is up on the wall there. But it seems in my dealings with wrestlers, they know about the family tradition, they know about the school's tradition, they know who the great rivalries are over time. I mean, how are the kids so smart about the sport of wrestling in general? Do you talk about that with them at all, or is it just something that if you're an Easton kid or you're a Parkland kid, you grow up knowing about the tradition?
Well, I think it starts in Easton. It starts in the midget programs. We have four different midget programs that converge into the junior high program, and we're constantly talking about it. When you see the high school kids, and Coach Nundermaker said it best, they come back into the room. They come back and they're with the little guys, and seeing that every day just promotes that family unit, that community base, and the tradition just keeps living on through the little guys, and they bring it through to high school and bring it back when they get out of college and come back. I see Jordan Oliver, he comes back to Easton, and first thing he wants to do is go to St. Anthony's, where he grew up, and Desmond Moore come back to St. Anthony's and touch back to the roots. So in Easton, it's giving back to the little guys who, when we were little, looking up to the Moss Graces, the Jack Cuvos, and those guys, and they were able to give back to us, and we give back to them too.
Right. Yeah, is it like that at Parkland?
Yeah, I think, wrestlers, when they've gone through and they've gone through the high school level and into the college level, I think they really understand how much wrestling has helped them in life in general and how it's enabled them to be successful, not only in wrestling but also in life and the struggles they go through and the things they overcome. Tradition's something that it takes. Parkland's not quite in that realm of the Eastons and the Nazareths and the Northampton. So it was something I know when I came into the program, Coach Togas had some great teams in the late 90s with John Trench and Derek Jenkins, and they had some really talented guys. But, my goal was when I took over, I said, listen, I don't want to be good just one time. Like, I want to compete every single year for a district championship. That's a program. I said, you want to be competitive every year. We'd always talk about, look at the names on the wall in the room. And the elementary kids come in that same room to practice all the time. They see all the names. A lot of the guys come in. They do clinics. They work with the elementary guys. A lot of the guys we have coaching now were former Parkland wrestlers. You just get that give back in wrestling for some reason. They want to come back and they want to see their program be successful, and they're willing to start at the bottom with the elementary kids and instill that tradition in the program. So it's kind of maybe unique in that way. I don't know what it's like in other sports, but wrestlers like to give back to their program.
I was going to ask Tom about that. Do you find that covering a lot of different high school sports, wrestling's a little unique?
Oh, there's no question. I've covered wrestling in other districts that used to come to District 11 for regionals and not do so well, and you got tired of hearing the cement jobs, and you got tired of hearing about Jamar Billman and all these guys that I've seen wrestle, and now they're all familiar names because they're all now coaching somewhere, or they're doing something to give back, whether they have, and even if they have kids now wrestling. It's amazing how a lot of the names just haven't changed, but yet, like I said, it's just they all stay within arm's length of the community that they grew up in. I think that's great.
I'd like to ask Ryan how he's enjoying a new role. You've been in, again, your family tradition. And by the way, even though I have never really covered wrestling, I got to meet from different media outlets your father. And it's just an absolute delight, first-class human being besides being a great coach. And the Nundermaker name, just top notch. But how are you enjoying this new role that you have at RCN 4 here?
I'm enjoying it a lot. As I said, it's different. I like to analyze because I love the sport of wrestling. If I get an opportunity, I'm watching Big Ten Network. I'm watching high school matches on RCN. And, I want to you know, always kind of stay in tune with what's popular in a sport and stay involved with the coaches. And a lot of people that I grew up either competing against or coaching with are now coaching their own programs and have their own staffs. And I think it's interesting to see things from a different perspective. It's nice to kind of walk in and be like, okay, you know, talk to the coaches. What are you thinking tonight? What's the big matchup here? You know, and I kind of have my idea of what I think is important. And I want to, you know, I'm kind of testing to see what do the coaches think is important with their program? What are they trying to accomplish? So I really enjoy that aspect of it. And I like to hopefully, you know, give the public a little bit more insight to, you know, things that are happening throughout the match, not only with the individual competitors, but with the coaches too. So for me, it's been a lot of fun. It's something I, you know, I didn't really think about when I was coaching, and you know, it just kind of fell into place, and it's been really fun so far. And Scott does a great job, so it's easy to work with him. He's very knowledgeable. As I said, when I was growing up, he was the man on TV, and he was, you know, been doing, I think, 32 years, he said, or something to that effect.
In the 80s,
it's been a long time, so it's been a pleasure to work with Scott and hopefully continue out through the year and keep enjoying the matches.
Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Larry from Northampton wants to take a shot at the trivia question. Larry, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hey, good evening.
Good evening, Larry. Ready for the taking a shot at the trivia question?
Yep.
All right, need all six.
One point, though, I'd like to see you guys on more wrestling matches on TV. Anyway, Northampton, Nazareth, Easton, Bethlehem Catholic, Saucon Valley, and Wilson.
Incorrect.
Ah. I tried.
If we go back to 2005, you might have got. I've heard some familiar names in there, but we need the six from 2009. Good guess, though. All right, let's go to Dan in Easton. Dan, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
Good, Dan. Thanks for joining us.
I just want to say, coaching at Palisades, the two guys with you, you know, Coach Billman and Coach Undermaker. You know, I'm trying to be as good as they are, but it's not easy. So you know, but I'm trying. So
they set the bar pretty high.
Yeah, they did, you know. And, all right, I'm going to try this trivia question answer. So, Penn Argyle, Easton, Becca, Nazareth, Northern Lehigh, and Saucon Valley.
There you got it, Dan. Great job.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll be in contact with you after the show about the prize.
All right, and can I ask Mr. Housenick a question?
Sure thing.
Hey, do you think that it's feasible that Palisades gets four guys to states in Zach Wasser, Nate Hobart, Jack Donnelly, and Adam Marsh?
I think it's going to be very difficult to get through that southeast region. I don't have any doubts about Hobart, and Jack Donnelly probably opened up his own eyes at how he did it, Escape the Rock, so I think those two have a really good chance. But it's going to take the best wrestling from all four to get through that southeast region. As was last year, it proved very difficult for our district's wrestlers to get through. But if they get three out of four, that'd be pretty darn good.
All right, thank you. And and also, the other Hobart's coming back for this weekend. He's been out since Notre Dame. He tore his hamstring against Vanelli, and he's coming back for the Coalcracker. So hopefully he can get some matches under his belt before postseason. So.
Yeah, it's a long time off, but it's good that he's able to get back before districts.
Yeah.
All right, Dan, thanks so much for the phone call.
Thank you, fellas.
All right. Coming up, more great wrestling talk with Tom Housenick, Ryan Nunnemaker, and Jamar Billman. And also, we have some features coming up in just a little bit. But right now, it's Keith's favorite part of the show. It's called Growler's Grumblings, where Keith sounds off and talk about anything and everything on his sports mind. Keith?
Well, look, these guys are the best. Tom is doing a fantastic job covering this sport. He's doing a great job coaching. And of course, Ryan's doing a great job at RCN4 here. Look, wrestling is huge here in the wintertime in the Lehigh Valley. There's no question that we've had more success in wrestling than any other sport, certainly any wintertime sport. But there are a couple basketball things happening. And I haven't been on in a month, and we're probably not going to be on next week. So I want to plug the fact that we have a big event on Sunday. Jamar talked about big-time events in wrestling. We have one in Lehigh Valley basketball. It's the Lehigh Valley Hoop Group event, 22nd annual, and there's some great games. Get out there. Parkland plays Harrisburg in the first game. Archbishop Wood takes on Bethlehem Catholic, state-ranked teams there in game two. Then you have a marquee matchup. Westtown is taking on Mansanutin or whatever, Academy. Tyrese Martin coming back from Allen High School, and they have the number one player in the country, Cam Reddish, who's going to Duke, and then it caps off with the EPC matchup between Allen and Liberty. So big event, Sunday at Parkland. Again, we don't have many attractions the way they have on the wrestling front, but it's a big day. It's their own version of Super Sunday. Get out there. And, of course, we tip off a big weekend, Friday night, perhaps the game of the year, Central Catholic at Bethel Catholic. So a plug for my guys on the boys' basketball scene amid this wrestling show.
And Becca Central will be live on RCN tomorrow night as well. Don't forget to go online and participate in the 2018 edition of the Keith Groller Hoops Challenge. Be sure to vote for your favorite teams, make your favorite picks, and also address your concerns.
Wait, it's the Groller Michael Challenge.
No, I think they're taking my name out because I'm like 50%.
You're only five games behind me. That's awful.
That's still pretty bad, though. So it's the Keith Groller Hoops Challenge. Make sure you make your pick known by going to themorningcall.com/hoops and vote for your favorite team. And for crying out loud, if I'm not going to win, make someone else out there. You don't not only get great prizes, but we have to keep Keith's ego in check. Otherwise, we won't be able to get him through the door here. So go to themorningcall.com/hoops. The deadline is this Friday at 5 p.m. for this weekend's events. Go online to see what great prizes are available. And again, support your favorite teams and vote for your favorites for this weekend's event. Time for another timeout this evening. The Deer Wrestling Program is trying to change its culture for the sport in the city of Allentown with some great new ideas. Sports Talk videographer Mike Kingsley has more.
Basically, it's get experience. We have a lot of younger guys, especially in the lower weights. 106 to 126 are all freshmen and sophomore, first year varsity guys. A lot of potential there. Just basically, you know, they need to get on the mat, get some experience.
Our team, we still got some work to do. We'll get better throughout the year, but you know, individually, I'm still planning on getting better throughout the year, and you know, just working on top and bottom mostly, because I still got to work on my shot a little bit. Just got a lot to work on, but we'll get better.
Basically, this year we're trying to just kind of change the culture a little bit. I know Deerhoff doesn't have probably the best reputation with sports, so I mean, personally, I'd like to start a wrestling club here this year, get the guys going to freestyle more, just working with even Allen, working with the midget programs, working with all the junior high kids, kind of just getting collaborative effort and, you know, having the nice things that every other school has, just trying to keep up with everyone else and kind of bring that same excitement that's kind of been lacking for the past couple years. Try to get the kids excited and have a reason to get excited about winning and having a successful program. And even watching, I took some kids to Who's Number One this year. Some kids went to the Lehigh and Penn State match, and basically just to let them see what they can accomplish and what they can get to.
You know, just basically getting these kids to buy in to the system that other schools, you know, the bigger schools, the Easton, the Liberty, the Parkland, dedicating themselves to the sport and working hard, especially in the off season. Wrestling, if you're not going all year round, you're going to have a hard time competing. Those top guys in the state and the country, they're going to freestyle tournaments, they're wrestling nonstop, and we need to do the same thing, just keep going in the off season.
We got to focus on getting out on bottom, not getting turned, and conditioning. Everyone, like, can't be gassed out there.
I believe I need to work harder to clinch districts and listen to my coaches. They know everything from experience, and they can only help me in the best way possible.
What we need to do is just stick together as a team. Hard work. That's pretty much all to it.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Our special guest this evening, Ryan Nunnemaker from the RCN Sports Department, Jamar Billman, the Easton Wrestling Head Coach, Tom Haustick, wrestling beat writer for The Morning Call, senior sports writer of The Morning Call, and the Eagles' newest beat guy.
I'm
Mr.
not the
Keith
beat guy.
But you're there doing all this tweeting from Eagles stuff. You're the, you know,
I tweeted
I look
like
forward
five
to
times
high school
the whole
stuff.
Night. Yeah. Five times the whole night.
Here's fans chanting outside the stadium. 3 days after the game. EPC Wrestling Challenge is coming up this weekend. Jamar, you're tied for number two, but as it was explained to me, that three-way tie, you win the tiebreaker, so you're going to be battling for third place against Liberty on Saturday, which I think the way they set this up is very interesting, too. That's going to be certainly one of the best matches of the entire day. But your thoughts on the EPC Challenge and on facing the Hurricanes on Saturday?
We're excited to face the Hurricanes. I think Coach Karam has a great program there. The kids are just tough-nosed, hard-nosed wrestlers that are going to be in your face and ready to wrestle. They have great challenge because they have great lightweights, and there is no hole in their lineup. Mm-hmm. They're very solid throughout the entire lineup, and it's going to be a good test for our young guys and our team, which we're going to be up for the challenge and ready to wrestle.
Tom and Ryan, what do you think about the idea of the EPC Challenge and how it shakes out going through 17th place all the way up to the championship?
I think it's a good idea because we lost all those matches that we had before. We joined the new league with all the teams coming up from the north as well. I think it's a good way to end, have competitive matches at the very top as well as the teams on the bottom, so they're not getting hammered by those top level teams. I think you'll see a lot of good competitive matches on Saturday, obviously highlighted by the final with Becca and Nazareth. But there's just a lot of good competitive dual meets throughout the day. It's a great day for fans. If they want to catch some action, it's going to be a good day of wrestling.
Yeah, as a fan, I love it. It's a chance to see some kids individually who I haven't seen at all this year other than watching video because they're on teams that are, you know, have struggled. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them, a lot of good individuals from some of the schools up north as well as some of the ones down here. I mean, Emmaus has a couple of really good kids that are going to compete for district and regional titles. I think it's a fun day. I'm ready.
I like, too, that the Colonial League goes on Monday. I believe it's going to be this year. But they go on a separate day, so you can enjoy the EPC on Saturday, and then the Colonial League players get a chance.
Yeah, in other sports, that hasn't been the case over the years. Yeah. I know it's butted heads with the other leagues, and this is really cool to see. I don't have to pick.
Yeah.
How are we going to do it in Hershey, Tom? I got to ask you. I don't know. I'll see you much before we get to that point in the season.
He's going to Minnesota and leaving me again, by the way.
I think I can make a prediction. I think we're going to have one state champion for sure.
Yeah.
I think Sasso, from what I'm told, he's going to be at 45. It will be an overwhelming favorite there. But I think there's a potential for a lot of underclassmen to walk away with medals. A lot of them have been there already before as freshmen and sophomores, and now they're among the best at their weight class. Again, I'm anxious to see where some of these kids end up weight-wise. There can be some tremendous matchups for three consecutive weekends. Last year we saw that at 138, where we saw three kids from this area take first, second, and fourth place. That was pretty fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Between Sasso, Dan Moran, and Northampton, and Zach Ortman at Parkland. That was pretty cool to see. And I think there's a potential for at least two of those weight classes for that to happen again, depending on, again, where people fall. So some of the lower weights, 26, 32, 38, there can be some really fun matches as a fan to watch those for potentially four consecutive weekends if they happen to meet this weekend. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I think we're going to do just fine. I think next year might be, in my 3 years, that would be the best year, mm-hmm. only because you look at the number ones here, half of these kids are underclassmen. Yeah. And if you look, there are a whole bunch of freshmen and sophomores on these top five lists, and that's just great. And again, they're getting exposed to top-level talent, not only in the area, but when they go to these tournaments outside the area, BC East, Ironman, et cetera. It's a lot of fun to watch that and watch some of these kids grow. I mean, some of these kids, hard to believe they're freshmen. You know, Northampton's Jagger Condomitti, I mean, the kid is really fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And again, he's stuck at a tough weight class. You know, 1 week he's not even in my rankings, and the next week he's at number two. Yeah. Again, it's that quick, and now he bumps back to maybe number four or five because he has a tough matchup with Pearson at Nazareth. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think we're going to do it. Traditionally, we're going to be right up there with where we've been in the past, but state gold might be tough. There are a lot of top-level talent across the state, but medal-wise, I think we'll be fine.
Jamar, I wanted to just get your thoughts on being a part of that Eastern tradition. Look at Cottingham Stadium, one of the most special venues in all of Lehigh Valley Athletics. You get the biggest football game of the year every year, Thanksgiving morning, Easton Peaburg. Wrestling has been magical there. I've attended some of the Wall of Fame banquets that Easton has had in recent years, and there are always a great array of wrestlers going in. Is that tradition going strong? Are you getting are the crowds still there like they've been in years past?
Maybe not as in years past, but the crowds are starting to grow as they're starting to see the kids come in and having success and finding success in the program. Coach Powell, and even going back even before Coach Powell, Coach Arbitani, they put good programs together, and the tradition just kept growing as Coach Powell took over. He's been great. He's been a great mentor. We have a great coaching staff. Mr. Snyder's still involved, and I mean, he's the second mayor of Easton, if you ask anybody in Easton, just the relationships that he has built. So it's been a great experience. And I think it's because of the coaching staff that we put together. I mean, Jeremy Hartram, he's a Wilson kid, you know, unfortunately for him. But he's a Wilson kid. But he's been, Coach Nonnemaker could tell you about Coach Hartram. He's very intense. He's very passionate about the sport. And we have Brandon Mahalko, who is a Liberty guy, and he is the same way, and they have great relationships. We deal with kids outside of wrestling on a daily basis with our jobs, so it's easier to, you know, deal with the kids that want to be there and want to work hard. And I just think it was a great opportunity, and I was very fortunate that they chose me to be the head coach and help try to continue the tradition of Eastern wrestling.
What's it like in the locker room before you guys come out from? I mean, from what I've seen in Tom's videos and on cable, RCN cable, the coverage, the atmosphere is unbelievable. What's it like in the locker room before a match begins, before you guys come out?
I mean, for the kids, they have their music on. I let them get in their zone. Try not to ruin it too much, because now that they're starting to find the rhythm, now that they're finding the things that they do to help them become the best wrestler at their weight class or the best mindset, I try to let them go. But you could hear it in the Philsburg match. I mean, you could hear the atmosphere. You could hear the fans yelling from where we were, and we were literally a hallway away, and we could hear it going. So you can't describe it until you're actually in it. And when you have the Nazareth matches, when you have the Philsburg matches, when you have the Liberty match of last year, it's something special when you actually get there.
Mm-hmm.
Different as a coach and wrestler, too.
All right, we're going to take our final break of the evening, and when we come back, I'd like to get everyone's thoughts on Becca versus Nazareth coming up, the EPC Challenge this Saturday. Again, that match will be on RCN with Ryan and Scott with the call. It is our last time out of the evening, but there have been some great girls basketball games in the Lehigh Valley. Our Sports Talk camera stopped by a few of the local gyms to talk with some local teams following recent victories.
So far, we've had a successful start. I think, certainly we're looking to play some important games coming up here in the next couple weeks that will kind of give us a feel for how we position in the league in terms of playoff time.
Coming up in the playoffs, we really need to bring up our defensive effort. We need to make sure that we have the help defense when people are going into the middle, and we need to make sure we're crashing the boards, rebounding. We need to also bring our turnovers down. Natalie Galley, she's our point guard. She really knows how to handle the ball, and she knows how to get open, and she makes open threes when we really need them. We also have Cassie Murphy, who's our forward. We look to her in the post.
Definitely all the seniors, Cassie, Olivia, Breen, and Brianna, are starters. We're always looking to get everyone pumped up for the games, get energy going. And definitely the girls coming off the bench, Abby and MK, they're always a big help coming in. Our team has to focus on getting it in the middle a little more. Teams are starting to play a zone and knowing our game plan, because we always look for our bigs in the middle. So I feel like if we start going over some new plays and trying to focus more on the middle and turning it around, we'll start getting more points.
Hopefully things continue to work out here. We still have some things to work on and to get a little bit better at and improve, but we really feel like we can finish strong in the month of January here and set us up playoff time in February.
So we ended up losing the first three games of the year, all league contests, and we tried to convince the kids that our season's not over. We still want to make the Colonial League playoffs, and we just got to keep on trying to improve, which isn't always easy with high school kids, because we're working hard every day and expecting them to work hard every day, and we didn't get any rewards of a win in the win column. And now that they bought into it full, and we're practicing hard, we're playing hard, and it's showing, and they're getting the rewards of the wins.
Beginning of the season, we didn't really know where we were going to be, but towards the second half, the end of December, we started to pick it up and realized that we are a good team, and we started playing well.
Well, we went out 11-13 because our coaching staff really didn't give up on us, and they pushed us at practice every day to be better, and we actually brought it to the floor and did everything we were supposed to.
We're used to being in the Final Four, and that's what these kids strive for. And with the injuries we have, it would be a great accomplishment for us to be back there.
Final segment of RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. And before we get to our roundtable segment, I just wanted to pick these guys' brains and get their thoughts on the EPC Challenge and beyond. And I've known over the years that when I talk to wrestling writers, announcers, and coaches, they're right 99.9% of the time. Last year, everyone said for the districts, Becca's the winner. Book it, mark it down, and Nazareth won. So I know every once in a while, there's a bit of a surprise, too. But we'll start with the EPC Challenge, though. Your thoughts on Becca versus Nazareth in the championship game. Coach, we'll start with you.
I think on paper, Becca is heavily favored. Mm-hmm. But you can never count Coach Krull out. I mean, he does an amazing job with the program. And you're never going to know how that match is going to end. But right now, I think Becca is the favorite.
Yeah. And just for the record, Tom, you didn't say book it. You weren't one of those guys that we had on record saying, no question, Becca wins it. No possible way Nazareth wins.
I did not say that.
No, you did not. You might have, I don't know if you thought that. No, you did not. You were not one of the people last year who said that. But what are your thoughts on Becca Nazareth this time around?
I would agree with Jamar. I think there's, you know, hard to argue Becca is not the best team in the area right now. What I'm interested to see is what happens in the second meeting, because that's where
the adjustments are made.
Different people in different spots and lineups, different guys in the lineup, perhaps, because those two teams are so deep. But I'm going to enjoy each one of those three matches. I'm hoping there's three matches this year.
Now, Ryan, as an RCN announcer, we have to hold you to your prediction here. If you're wrong, we're going to play it for the next 5 weeks, too. So, Becca Nazareth, who do you like this Saturday?
Well, I agree with both these guys. I think on paper, Becca's slightly favored, although, as Jamar said, you know, Coach Kroll and his staff and Adam Colombo usually does their matchups for him. They're well scouted, they know. But I think it's going to be more of the next match. I think this is going to be a feeling out process. They'll probably go relatively straight up.
Do you hold back at all? Do you think they hold back a little?
I don't know if they hold back, but I think they kind of go straight up, and they, you know, the loser then is the one that has to make the adjustments and figure out what are they looking for, what matchup, what did they find in that match that they can do differently the next time. And that's the big one. I mean, the EPC championship's nice, but the winning team would prefer the district championship, sure. The state championship. So I think you're going to see these guys hit a couple times here in these next few weeks, and I think it's going to be closer each time.
Yeah. All right, time for the roundtable. This is where we go through a variety of topics, more rapid fire in variety, and we hit on some local, regional, national type topics. Topic number one, best individual winter sports performance that you have seen so far this year. Tom, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go with Sammy Sasso with the Beast of the East. Mm-hmm. He was the overwhelming favorite to just run away with the 145-pound field, so he went up to 152 pounds to move up and take the number one guy on in the country, David Carr, and it was a great match to watch, and I think... Again, Sammy walked away from that thing, and I'm still the better wrestler, but I did the right thing.
Yeah.
And again, he challenged himself, and I think that says a lot for his character. So I was pretty impressed by that.
Yeah, great choice. Ryan, how about you?
I'm going same wrestler, just different event. Sammy Sasso at the Who's Number One over at Lehigh this year, where he brought the crowd to its feet, wrestling Art Alona from Florida, who I believe he lost to out of Fargo, and turned the tables, not only won the match, but pinned him in the match. And that was highly impressive. They were ranked 1 and 2 at the time, and for Sasso to come out and get the fall in his hometown area, that was highly impressive.
Coach, how about you?
I know we keep mentioning the same individual all the time, but it's actually a different event, the Holiday Classic. I mean, he's wrestling.
Nazareth people won't be taking any offense to that. Go ahead.
At the Holiday Classic, just the way he dominated the field. I think Myers from Phillipsburg is a very tough wrestler, very strong wrestler, third in the state at in New Jersey last year. And it's just the way he went about business and end up getting a fall and winning OW there, which just typifies his performance throughout the season.
Yeah. Keith, I know you got to break the string here. Best individual performance you've seen.
Do the Eagles count?
Here we go.
They were pretty.
Something
were pretty
about that chair.
They were pretty impressive.
Homer.
They were pretty impressive Sunday night against the Vikings.
All right, moving on. Topic number two: best team winter sports performance, not named Philadelphia Eagles. Keith, you're up first.
It's a winter team sport. Boy, goodness gracious!
High school, please.
How about the Golden Hawks of Bethlehem Catholic have been very strong. They did lose at the buzzer to Northampton,
but they
seem to have all the weapons, just like they do in wrestling. And they have a star-studded lineup there, and they're going to be tough to beat. I think Becca right now is our best basketball team.
And then Northampton beat Allen last night too. Jamar, how about you? Best team performance you've seen?
I'm going to pass on this because I don't want to steal Coach Nunnemaker Thunder. Because I agree with him totally on this one. But I just don't want to steal Thunder, especially since he's the one that actually talked about this.
I could mix it up. I thought of three, but they're different levels. Liberty at the Hurricane Classic, coming off the Penn Manor Championship, knocking off Parkland early, going to the Hurricane Classic. All the top teams in District 11 there. Liberty wins that event. I thought that was highly impressive. For Keith, I'll throw in a basketball. NC State knocking off Duke this year. My alma mater, NC State, was a big win, so that was exciting. That was totally unexpected. I think Duke was number two at the time, and so I'll take that one
Wolfpack,
as well.
Go Wolfpack.
All right. Tom, final 30 seconds.
I think Liberty's performance in general this year has kind of surprised everybody. There were some familiar names coming back. I think there's a crew of four guys that people expected to be better and among the best at their respective weight classes. But there have been some no-names that have come out of nowhere and have been regular contributors. And, again, it's not just been one tournament, but it's been pretty much since the get-go, the start of the season. They've been really impressive.
Yeah. They always keep some drama, too. That Becca Liberty match had some interesting twist to it here. But we're out of time, so we cannot address that issue. And, again, don't forget, EPC Challenge coming your way Saturday night right here on RCN-TV. For Tom, Ryan, Jamar, and Keith, I'm Chris. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week for another live sports talk. Good night, everyone.